The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, there's so much in the book of Isaiah that is very, very quotable. In fact, in Matthew 21:13, the Lord Jesus quotes Isaiah. In a number of places he does, but very famously, Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper. That is from Isaiah 56, verse 7. And we're going to get into Isaiah 56 today and even beyond that. Now, perhaps this is Exploring the Word, and that's just what we do. We read and we study and we try to take it to heart, the Word of God. And we are coming kind of, Bert, towards the end of Isaiah, but it's been a great study, and every chapter just seems to be better and better.
It really is, Alex. I've been just overjoyed at what benefits I have received by preparing to share from Isaiah, and that's what happens. I mean, the one that is teaching is the one that gets the most out of it.
Amen.
But chapters 56 and 57 tend to go together. By what I mean, that you have two groups of people, large groups, and then they're broken down into smaller groups. It's those who are pleasing to the Lord, and then those that are not pleasing. So let me try to do a little bit of this. Go ahead, and that way we can look at what we're thinking about. Chapter 56, verses 1 and 2, is the just and the righteous. They are, God says, they're acceptable, they're great. And then in 56:3, he introduces us to the Gentiles who have gotten right with God. And then in verses 6 and 8, it's called, I love the way he says this, it's so strong, son of the foreigners. And then in verse 6, sons of the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord. That's Amen. Another group. And then there's the eunuchs, and it's very small amount there, but it is there. And it says they've been dedicated to the Lord. And then in chapter 57, the part that really contributes to everyone, Jew or Gentile, is in verses 14 through 21, those with a contrite heart. And Alex, you bring that up quite often about a heart of contrition. But then there's those that are godless, and there's just two groups of them. This is horrible, but it's the religious leaders, chapter 56, 9 and 12. And then finally, the idolaters of Israel. That's the most of chapter 57, verse 3 through 13. So I believe these two chapters, they kind of tie themselves in, those that are right with God, those that are not right with God. Do you catch what I'm trying to get across?
Yes, absolutely. And here in the latter words of chapter 56, there's really the sin of presumption as well. But hey, you know, in verse 4, and by the way, these are kind of some of the shorter chapters of Isaiah, just a dozen verses in 56 and only 21 verses in 57. But all right, listen to this. "For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that," listen, "keep my Sabbaths, choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant." Okay, there was behavior that is shaped by beliefs and convictions. These people, they have kept the Sabbath. In other words, they're doing the things that are commensurate with the people of the Abrahamic covenant. And then, choose the things that please me. Those are priorities and the ordering of one's life according to God's will. But take hold of my covenant. Bert, these things, this constitutes saving faith, doesn't it?
It really does. And that's what I noticed. It in verse 3 even, it talks about the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And here's the eunuchs. And these are basically outcast. You catch, you know,
yeah.
Oh, we don't want any of those foreigners in here. No, these are foreigners who have come to the Lord and are living in that society as people that know the Lord. And so here, and then the eunuchs that were looked on as, you know, not as they should and strong, and they say, no, They're not outcast. I accept them to them, and I couldn't help but notice this. Choose though it pleases me, and hold fast my covenant.
Well,
and it's all started at half of it's looked at. They're honoring the Sabbath the right way, which honors the Lord. Doesn't that agree with what you're saying?
Exactly. You know, a couple of years ago, all in the space of one day, I found myself sharing the gospel with a Jewish person, a very observant Jew, and also a Muslim man. And, of course, the Jews are the children of Isaac, and the Muslims are the children of Ishmael, okay? Now, and both of them, and I'm not saying this out of anti-Semitism, because everybody knows or should know, we love and support the Jewish people. But this particular person I was witnessing to, and I said, you need Jesus, and Jesus is the Messiah. And he was a little bit cocky, and he said, look, we are God's people, the Jews. Well, Christ is risen, and everybody has to be born again. We have to put our faith in Jesus. And then later on that very same day, this Muslim man was just very, very cocky and talking about how Allah was God and the Quran was scripture, not the Bible. And I was sharing the gospel with these people. But let me read verse 5. All right. The Gentiles, the foreigners outside of the nation of Israel, and then the eunuchs, which childlessness and maybe birth defects were indicative of someone who didn't know the Lord, you know. But anyway, it says they're going to take hold of the Lord. Verse 5, even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters.
Amen.
In other words, people who come in by faith even have a higher name than the religious Jews that were not believers, a name better than the sons and daughters. Now, here's the thing, and I'll throw it back to you, Bert. Being saved and being in a relationship with Jesus is not a bragging match. It's not, oh, I've got a better name than you. But here's the thing Isaiah is putting forth is that salvation is for all people. And it's not about outward rituals. It's not about the family you were born into as a baby. Knowing the true and living God is about receiving in your heart his salvation. And what is that salvation? It's Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And God says in verse 5, this is so precious, I will give them in my house a place. And I'll say this, folks, there's a place for you in God's house.
Alex, you can't help but, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut, thought you was through, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Couldn't help but think of John 14 where he says, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And that is open to everyone who believes, and here it is, the sojourners or the foreigners, the eunuchs, and then in verse 6 it continues. Notice these terms, and I'll throw it back to you because I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
Who join themselves to the Lord to serve him. And to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. Even I will bring to my holy mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all, here it is, nations. The Lord God who gathers who? The outcast of Israel says, yet I'll gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. Alex, amen. You see that, and you remember when God called Abraham, he blessed him so he could bless what? All the nations.
Amen.
God has a heart for all the nations, doesn't he?
He really does. You know, back in Isaiah 49, 6 and 7, it says that the Redeemer of Israel is the light to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? And the idea that non-Jews could get in on the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant, really, to be born again and to know God. And ultimately, I love it in verse 7 of Isaiah 56, that God will bring them to his holy mountain.
Yes.
I've got the great privilege in about 2 or 3 weeks with Tim Wildman and the group, we're going to the mountain of God. We're going to Jerusalem, good Lord willing, In fact, folks, please keep us in prayer as we make that trip. And yesterday, Tim Wildman was sending me some things that I need to be prepared to speak on, and we're going to go to some of these places over there, all around Jerusalem and Capernaum and all that. But, Bert, every born-again believer is going to one day be with Jesus Christ in his city, the mountain of God. I'm excited about that, aren't you?
I am, Alex. And what a beautiful thing. It's his city, his mountain. It is his. And he has made it available to us by faith. It's by grace through faith that we can come to know him. It was then and it is now. They entered in to that covenant with the Lord to serve him and to be his. I love verse 8 that he gathers the outcast of Israel. Now, when I saw that outcast, I could not help but think of the incarnation. The angels went to who first? Those shepherds. Outcast. And Mary, because she, quote, according to what they thought, there in that city of Nazareth, oh, she is having a child out of wedlock, outcast. Joseph even became an outcast because they suspected him. And again, God specializes, I'm going to just say it, I want you to comment on it, on gathering outcasts to himself, doesn't he?
He does. You remember the historian Josephus, and his collected works is called Antiquities of the Jews. And much about what we know of the ancient world, we know from Josephus. And he wrote that it was said, quote, there is no more detestable job than that of a shepherd, you know. And yet it was to those shepherds that were breeding lambs for the temple sacrifice. The angels announced to those shepherds the birth of the Lamb of God. Bert, isn't that just a beautiful reality on so many levels?
It is, and it speaks to our hearts. That's why the Christmas story, the Christmas message is so powerful. Yes, Easter and Christmas, but they run parallel how important they are. The last line in verse 8, those who are gathered to him. We gather to him, but one day he's going to gather us to him when he comes back and raptures the church, and then the dead in Christ will rise first, get in their new spiritual bodies. Alex, gathering, that's a beautiful term. I mean, it hit me as I was reading this how beautiful that is. The church, what? Gathers. It gathers together. A family, a gathering. And here, God is saying, the nations, my house is a house of prayer for what? All nations. It's a place to gather to honor him and to know him. Well, that's chapter 56, 1 through 8, and it's righteous. But before we go to a break, it takes a different turn with verse 9. We won't spend a lot of time there, but when we come back, notice verse 10, the watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They're dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs. That's not a real complimentary thing to say about some people, is it?
No, and the watchman should have seen the wild beast coming and the danger on the horizon because they were charged with helping protect the people. Well, hey, we're going to come back and continue in Isaiah on this edition of Exploring the Word, Bert and Alex, plus take your calls. So stay tuned. There's a lot of show left, and we want you to be a part of it.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Amen. It's just hard to stop these songs for me, Alex. I have to admit it. It gets me going, but thank you for that. Again, we're in Isaiah chapter 56, and we're looking at 9 through 12, and it talks about the rebuke of those who are wicked, and he gives it strong. The shepherds, as you said, the watchmen, they are not doing their job. Verse 11 says it real powerfully, Alex. Yes, they're greedy dogs, which never have enough. They're shepherds who cannot understand. They all look their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own territory. Mm-hmm. Alex, again, greed. We're talking about using position that they have for who? Not serving, but self-serving. Self-serving, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of God, God strongly condemns that, doesn't he?
He really does. He really does. And, you know, it's sad to think about that. I mean, let's remember those of us that are in ministry, but really every Christian, you know, it says we are our brother's keeper, and we are to be looking out for, yes, the welfare of those around us. I mean, that's love, selflessness, but the souls of people. And I heard an evangelist say that the church, now think about this, because we need a revival in America. We really do.
Amen.
The church, one evangelist rightly said, we are the custodians of the presence of God. In other words, we ought to be able to not only carry the message of the gospel, but we really ought to be able to carry the presence of God into our relationships, our community, even our nation. You say, how do we do that? Well, we walk with the Lord, hopefully. We know and believe, follow and proclaim his word, I hope. But we also pray and intercede. And these watchmen weren't doing that. And there's a word here at the end of verse 11. In my Bible, I got the King James, and it says, everyone looks for his own gain from his quarter. And Bert, I was looking at a commentary, and it said it really means from their own point of view. In other words, the quarter or the part of the room that you're in, you're looking from that point of view. Well, we all need to be living and looking and behaving from God's point of view, shouldn't we, Bert?
Amen. Give me my Father's eyes.
Yes.
By that, I mean to look at everything through his eyes, people, events, situations, no matter what, and you do that by staying close to God, knowing his word, getting sin out of your life, because sin distorts our view. And so Alex, verse 12 says it, come, one of those say, I will bring wine. We will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. And we're going to party hardy, and tomorrow will be as today. It won't matter, and much more abundant. Listen, if that's your worldview, you're going down the wrong road. And that view, no matter how it may look to you as you're going down, it ends in destruction. So here it is. No way. You want a clear head. You want a clear eyes and a pure heart. And yes. Alex, that does bring us to chapter 57, which says, the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, even as one walking in his uprightness. Alex, what a contrast. They shall rest. The comment that got me most in that one, it may not, I know I love enter into peace, but the one that got me, they shall rest in their beds. Real rest. Isn't rest a really important word in the Bible?
It really is. It really is. And do you know what? I was just reading a journal article about 2 days ago about the devastating toll that lack of rest takes on our body and our mind, you know. And so rest is a gift from God. The Bible says he gives sleep to his beloved. And so, yes, I mean, there is 57, there's no peace for the wicked. This is what it's saying. Verse 2, like you said, they'll rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of an adulterer and the whore. Now that's harsh language, but it's a critical situation. Against whom do you sport yourselves, and against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? And Bert, as we know in the Bible, your family lineage was very significant. You know, the seed of the righteous will not beg bread, the seed of Abraham. Well, to be called a seed of falsehood, your whole life is a lie. And Bert, I got to tell you, and I love people, I do, but I read and see so much, and we all do in the news, and the way that this lost world just flaunts everything in the face of God. I want to tell you, there's a lot of lostness in our time. And when I read about these people of impurity, and even their very lineage is sin and unrighteousness, it sounds to me like the 21st century, Bert.
It really does. And so Ecclesiastes said there's really nothing new under the sun. It's been around since Isaiah's day. It's here today. It's magnified because there's more of it. There's more availability to know about it, so we do. But it is there, and it seems to me it's like a snowball. It's gathering speed and, I would say, mass as it goes down the hill. Verse 5, notice this, and you may want to go back to the others, but notice this really got my attention. And what I wanted to do, verses 3 through basically 13, is highlight all these pagan practices that false teachers and all these idolaters were leading to. Here it is. Listen this. Inflaming yourselves with gods under every green tree. Again, we're talking about nature. We're talking about worshiping that which is a false god. Now listen to this. Slaying the children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks. Here it is, Alex. Child killing children has been around for years, centuries, and here it is, slaying the children in the valleys. Alex, no, any society, any government that sanctions killing children, born and those that were preborn, judgment of God is on them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, you think about, and we could talk about this at length, but the precious, fragile, helpless, beautiful gift that is a little baby, and to killing children. I mean, it's just unthinkable. God was against it then. God is against it now. And it says in verse 6, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them that thou hast poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? God says, look, your offering is not going to assuage your sin. And you're going to be like the rocks at the bottom of the river for the sins that you've done. I know this is kind of like pictorial language, but says, you know, what is your lot? Not the mountain of God, but you're going to be like rocks at the bottom of the river.
You really are. And it is going to be run over, taken away. You have nothing to gain. Now, again, it goes. Now, notice what it mentions here. It mentions under the green tree, then it mentions the smooth stones of a stream. Now, verse 7, on a lofty and high mountains, you have set your bed. Notice Isaiah is given a lesson in geology, okay, a little
yes.
bit. And there's no place what you do when you practice these pagan and ungodly practices in your life or in a nation's life, there is a price to pay. And here it says, even there you went up to offer sacrifices. But Alex, as you read the rest of it, none of those sacrifices were acceptable to the Lord, were they?
No, they really weren't. And he says, like in verse 7, you think you've got yourself up on a high mountain, but behind the doors and also the post hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another other than me. In other words, God sees what you're doing. God knows what goes on in the quote-unquote secret parts of your life, and you think you can go to the king with ointment, in other words, appease yourself, make yourself presentable with perfumes or makeup or anything like that, and you've debased yourself even unto hell. Now, you can't get right with God by human effort. Salvation is not about how much money you've got or how pretty or handsome you might think you are, or you can't bargain with God. And Bert, you know, Jack Wurtzen of Word of Life, you remember that ministry?
Oh, yes, I do.
And Jack Wurtzen had a famous saying, and a lot of people say it now, but I think it was original to him. But he said, before you can get some people saved, you have to get them lost. In other words, you have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, help people comprehend how dire this situation is. And Isaiah here talking about people that they've debased themselves even unto hell. You know, all that's left is the last heartbeat, and they're almost already in hell. The situation is dire, and there is one hope, one salvation, one recourse you've got, and that's to call out to Jesus.
And
there's no other way.
There's no other way. And he declares that 10, 11, 12, he continues that. You've grieved me. You've hurt me. I've held my peace for a while, but it will be made right. Verse 12, real quickly. I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. What you're doing, even though you're making a half-hearted advancement toward pleasing me with your sacrifices, you are not. It will not work. It will not profit. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. Listen, You're trying to have me and them too? No. Come out from among them and be ye separate. It is God and God alone who can deliver, but the wind will carry them away. Breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Praise God for the last two lines in verse 13, Alex.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's something here that is so beautiful. And again, like you pointed out, the idols can't save them. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. And one, O and E is capitalized. This is God. God is the high, holy, lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth or angry, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. All right, I want to point out one thing, Bert. I'll throw it to you. Where do souls come from? God. God makes the soul. You know, at the moment of conception, yes, a baby is conceived, but a soul is born, really. And Bert, they've even, through, I've seen video of this, there's a flash of light when conception occurs. There is. It's a miracle, the miracle of life. And, you know, really, to be very clear, we are spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is that part of you that exists everlastingly somewhere, and that's why we need to be regenerated, made alive, saved. Because, listen, you can believe it or not, you can like it or not, but you will exist everlastingly. And death, the grave, is not the end, is it, Bert? And theologians have wondered, what's the origin of the soul? God makes the soul, doesn't he?
He is the one and only. He's the one that created Adam and Eve. He is the progenitor of it all. He is the beginning of it all. And Alex, when you read this from 16 all the way through 21, you see that God is wanting to make people right. He says it clearly. The people that went on backsliding, there was a price to pay. But those that come to the Lord, he'll restore with confidence. He really will restore comfort to him. The comfort of the Lord. I create the fruit, verse 19, the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will hear him. Alex, listen, his hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not dumb that he cannot hear. If he hears that person, even today, that is feels like, man, they've done too much, they've gone and wasted too much time, is there hope for them, Alex?
There is hope. If you're in, we've often said this, if you're still in the land of the living, if there is breath in your lungs and presence of mind about you, you can be saved. And people frequently say, but you don't know what I've done or this or that in my past. God knows, and he loves you, and his arms are open. I quoted Erwin Lutzer yesterday. I love this quote. He said, there is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past.
Hallelujah.
We serve a kind Savior. And he's calling out to people. Even now, Bert, I think there's probably somebody listening right now, and you're wondering, if I died, am I really ready to meet God? You can get ready by calling out to Jesus today. And the one who comes to Christ, he will not reject.
So what is the last warning? After he gives all this, he says, come to me. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You're not going to find that peace and that joy in drink, in possessions, or location. You find it in the person of Jesus Christ. It's the day of prayer, and that number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Don't stop praying. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Hey, here's the phone number. Listen to this. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. On Tuesdays, in addition to taking any and all Bible questions, we also take prayer requests. And if you have a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. Bert, I have a praise, really. 2 days ago, I was sitting in the Atlanta airport. I was just thinking, and a name popped into my head that I hadn't thought of in a while. It was a neighbor. They were having some trouble with their teenage son, who's about 19 or 20. And I just felt led to pray. And I hadn't thought of this family in probably a year. They had called, and they were having a really, really tough season. And so I was sitting in the Atlanta airport, and I prayed for this young man. Well, just an hour ago, Angie and I were having lunch, and we ran into this family. And I said, wow, I was just praying for your son. And the mother said, it's a miracle. He's gotten off of drugs. He's reading his Bible again. He's cleaned up. He's been sober for a year. And she said, we were having a hard time, and we can't believe how God has turned his life around.
Amen.
And I said, 2 days ago, the Holy Spirit brought him to mind. I was praying. And Bert, here's my point. God answers prayers.
He does.
The hopeless situation, folks, there is hope, and it's in Jesus Christ.
Amen, Alex. Good word. Man, that thrills my heart. And that first you'd think of him, and then you get to meet them, and you hear this good report. That's awesome. Alex, amen. You got the phone lines. You want me to?
Could you try? I can't get my computer to work on the... folks, we have this software where we can answer the telephone off of a computer, and most days it works. Today is not one of those
well,
days.
Well, yesterday it was the phone lines not working, but let's make up for it. Go with as many as we can. Ivy in Texas, go right ahead. Ivy, are you there?
It's Izzy, yes.
Izzy, okay, yeah, go ahead. Sure. I'm sorry about that.
That's not a problem, sir. I'm talking when Cain killed Abel, he said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and I should be hid. I should be a fugitive and a vagabond, and it should come to pass that everyone that find me shall slay me. Who was he referring to? Because there wasn't anybody else on the earth born at that time.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Okay. Listen, you're partially correct, but... God doesn't tell us all of the children that, Adam and Eve had made, and the vagabond, he was wondering, he'd be out on his own. The vagabond has the idea of being on his own. He is leaving a safe situation, going into a difficult situation, not only with people, but also with the wilderness and everything else that was waiting out there, wasn't he, Alex?
Yeah, you know, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham has written extensively about this, and it's really good. But in Genesis 5, verse 4, says, the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and Adam begat sons and daughters. The language of it really is many sons and daughters. Now, the immediate story talks about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, but by this time, scholars believe that there could have been thousands or maybe even hundreds of thousands of people, descendants, by the time that Cain left. So I want to say what it does not imply. It is not implying that there were other races of people on the other side of the globe, because every now and then evolutionists will say, well, see, over here, you know, on the other side of the planet, life had evolved over there. No, every human then and now is a descendant of Adam and Eve, aren't they, Bert?
They really are, and it's even been proved. Alex, you've referred to it, goes back to where it started. You know, mm-hmm. a mother and a father. It started from there, and we have the knowledge of who it was. I pray that helps. Let's go to Texas. Stan, thank you for calling.
How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing good. It's a good day to be alive, Stan. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you guys off and on for a few years now. But when I first started listening to you guys, AFR, I love AFR. And I started listening to you guys, and I said, oh, my God, these guys are so religious. I just can't believe it. But I kept listening, and I kept listening. And then one day it dawned on me, and it's like these words just came to me. It's not that they're religious. It's that I'm so backslidden.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stan, I can tell you this. Alex McFarland loves the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. I can tell you that. Yeah, he does.
And Bert Harper as well.
Well, Stan, are you growing in the Lord now, brother?
I am seeking. I'm spending more time in my Christian worship music. And I've been a Christian for a long, long time, but I went through some serious struggles and backslid badly. And I say I'm working my way back, but I know we don't work our way back. But it's just kind of been a step-by-step process for me to get back to where I want to be. But I still don't have the joy that I'm looking for. I don't feel like I have the victory I'm looking for, but I'm looking in the right places.
Amen.
And I'm seeking until I make it.
Well, keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He will. He will. Make sure you look for a local church to be a part of that teaches the word. And if you can, get in a small group in that church where accountability and encouragement happens. And Stan, thank you for that call. And we appreciate you, brother. We really do. Thank you so much. Let's go to Texas and talk to Donna. Donna, thank you for calling today.
Hi, Bert. How are you and Alex doing?
We're doing well.
Bless. Thank you for calling.
Good. I just got a prayer request from my sister. Trish has been abused by her husband. He's in jail, and they have a 2-year-old. So would you pray for her and them? And would you pray for my grandson? Ulrich is going into the military on the 5th. I've encouraged him to journal. And he doesn't believe in God, but that's just a temporary setback.
Amen. Believe that, Donna. Well, amen. Alex, you got enough that you could lead us in prayer for Donna and her request. Go ahead, brother.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can join in prayer and agree together and call on your name. And bless Donna and these requests. And Lord, I pray for this man that's been abusive and he's in jail. And that's where... An abuser should be right now. And Lord, I pray as he's hit bottom that you would work in his life and he would be saved. We pray for this little 2-year-old child, and we pray for the mother that she could heal, and that this every individual in question that would find their healing and their life and their foundation in you, Jesus. And then we pray for the young man going into the military. What an honorable thing that is to serve our country in that way. But Lord, we ask for, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that he would come to know you and believe, and Lord, that he would take you as his Savior. So thank you for all the things Donna has brought to us. We agree and we bring them to you, Jesus. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to work in all of these lives. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Donna. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Alabama and talk to John. John, thank you for calling, Exploring the Word. Go right ahead, brother.
Thank you, Bert.
Yes.
Bert, I have a brother-in-law that's really, really struggling with life. And had a side-by-side accident 2 years ago, and he's struggling. Really, spiritually and physically and financially, but he really needs prayer.
I'll do it.
I appreciate you all prayers for him.
Okay. Father, thank you for John. May we all have brother-in-laws, brothers, sisters, friends that would bring our need to you and to share it with others in a way that others can join in. And Father, I pray for this struggling man, God, that he would look unto you, the author and finisher of faith. I pray that he would understand that we live in a world which difficulty is a part of. And Father, the finances, spiritually, all the things that he's struggling, that he would look unto you. And Father, that you would meet him where he is, bring some people into his life that would challenge him. Also, that would guide him and challenge him to follow you. We pray this, we believe this, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, John. Well, next we're going into North Carolina, and it's Deborah. Deborah, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. A friend of mine, Mary, she's in the hospital, and she asked if we could please pray for her. Her kidneys are shutting down.
Oh, me.
We want to pray that her kidneys will come back to normal so that she don't have to get on the kidney machine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, kidney issues, Alex, severe. Deborah's her name. Would you pray?
The woman with a kidney problem is Deborah.
No, Deborah's the one that made the request. Well, I don't think we got the person's name. Do you know her? Could you give her a first name, Deborah?
Yes, her first name is Mary.
Mary. Okay, that helps.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Mary. This daughter of the King, Father, in the name of Jesus, please restore those kidneys. Dialysis is so burdensome. Lord, we thank you for medical technology, but what a blessing it is when our bodies work as you made them and our organs function. And thank you for Deborah bringing this request. But Lord, we agree together. We call out in your name. And I'm believing you're going to touch those kidneys and make them work again such that she wouldn't even have to get on dialysis. So we lift this up to you. We thank you in advance. And Isaiah 53:6 says, by your stripes we're healed. So, Lord, I just pray that you would favor this woman with a healing touch from you, Lord. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Alex. Brent, we've had some prayer requests coming over on Facebook.
Yes, I've got two on Facebook right now. One is from Dana. She's asking for prayer for her brother, Craig, who has cancer, and her uncle, Gene, who is suffering from cancer and is in hospice. And the other is from Nancy. She's having back surgery this Friday due to a bulging disc, and she would really covet your prayers.
Okay. I've got those written down. I'm going to combine them with her next prayer so that way we can do it and have more time for everyone. John in Texas. John, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. Listen, I cannot express how much I enjoy hearing y'all. Two righteous men. I just love your program. I'm a big crybaby. Hey, listen, my daughter, my only child, she won't even let me talk to her about the truth. She'll just hang up on me. She lives in Oregon, and that marijuana has had her whole life. I can't get to her.
God can.
I'm so sorry.
God can. Alex, does God intervene in people's lives? Does prayers in Texas make a difference with a person in Oregon?
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit of God touches the whole planet. Sir, I am so sorry. I really am. And I got to tell you something, Bert. I have this visceral hatred of illegal drugs. Because, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and we do summer camps. I have seen drugs destroy so many lives. And that's why, folks, as you're praying, please pray that our nation would get set free from the clutches of substance abuse. Sir, we will pray for your daughter. We absolutely will. And I know, Bert, you're writing these down, but I got to tell you, whenever I hear politicians or celebrities talk about legalizing marijuana, it makes my blood boil, doesn't it?
It does mine. I have seen it. It is the introductory, and it's a lot stronger than it was way back when it started, quote, in the hippie years and all of that. It's even amplified more. So we are, and let's pray, and we do want to pray for these. All right, for me to lead, Alex?
Lead us.
Father, I thank you for John calling. I thank you for his broken heart over his daughter. We're praying right now in Oregon, wherever she is, there would be a strange presence in her life. And that presence is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, and he is moving and hopefully bringing back to her memory some teaching that she had, that she would understand there's something better than where she is and what she's doing. And I'm praying for John that you would just help him, strengthen him. Father, for those that came in on Facebook, for Dana and for her Craig and Gene, I pray right now, God, that you would help them, strengthen them, that you would be present with them. And Father, for Nancy that's going in for surgery herself, Father, I pray that you would strengthen her and help her. I pray you'd give direction to all the medical staff that will be involved in surgery and even the part of recovery. And Father, we thank you for a day of prayer here on Exploring the Word. And I thank you for that lady months ago that said, why not make Tuesday a day of prayer? Father, it's really blessed us, and we want to bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a great day on Exploring the Word. We give God all the praise. We're going to pick it up tomorrow in Isaiah 58. We're coming kind of towards the end of the book of Isaiah, so stay with us. And Bert, aren't we blessed to get to do what we do?
Listen, two or three said something about how we are blessing. Listen, Alex and I have been blessed by you, and we thank God for you. Continue to listen to Exploring the Word, and let's grow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.